So looking at the scriptures, we're looking at the commandment, thou shalt not steal. And the first thing that came to my mind was a scripture in John 10:10, where it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. You know? But then Jesus turns around and says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I just want to encourage you tonight, because see, that's what the Lord has come for. He's come to restore what the thief has stolen. He's come to give back what the enemy's taken away. He's come to restore it, not just a little bit, but in abundance. He's come to restore it to you. And the Lord has that for you. That's your blessing. That's your promise from the Lord, that he's come to restore to you what the enemy's tried to take away from you. Whether that's finances, whether it's relationships, whatever it is that the enemy's tried to take from you, whether it's your joy, God has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you might be fulfilled, that you might have those things restored to you that the enemy tried to take from you. See, God has a good plan for you. The enemy doesn't have a plan for you except to steal and kill and try to destroy you. But God's plan is to restore to you and to give to you in abundance everything that the enemy has tried to take away from you in your life. God's come to restore it and to bring it to you, that you might have life and have it in abundance, because that's what God wants for you. He doesn't want us to be in a place where we're looking like we're lost all the time, but he wants us to be in a place where we know our relationship with him and we are fully restored because of him. Hallelujah. Tom.
Second Tom, come on. Clap me. Oh. So I'm going to talk about stealing. I always get to talk about the difficult bits. Last time I had to talk about work. This time, stealing. Great. And this is a very short commandment, you know. Do not steal. That's it. Should we go home? Yay! No, there's a bit more to it than that. All right, we're going to talk about stealing and the problem with stealing, and then Tom's going to come and talk about giving, because giving's really why we're here. We're here to receive the gift of God. But let me talk to you about stealing first. You know, just let me say a little bit about these commandments, first of all. These 10 commandments are not just for Israel. They're for us. That's why we're talking about them now. Some people say, oh, because they're in the Old Testament, it means, oh, they don't apply to me. But actually, they do. This is the moral law of God that applies to every person living in every age. It applies to us. You know, Jesus said, do not steal. A couple of times, Jesus said it to a young man, a young rich man, who came to him and asked him, what must I do to get eternal life? And one of the things Jesus said, he quoted a number of different commandments. One of them was, do not steal. So it's important that we don't steal. You know, theft and stealing means to take what's not yours without permission. You know, the first sin that was ever committed was an act of theft, an act of stealing. Eve took the apple from the tree that God told her and Adam not to eat from, stole from it, because she was deceived by the devil. The devil, as Thomas said there, wants to steal and kill and destroy. You know that all sin came into the world when Eve stole that apple, and when Adam ate that apple as well. You know, this stealing is very important because it's the gateway to sin, actually. All of these commandments go against stealing in a way. You know, the first 4 commandments are about loving God. The last 6 commandments are about loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus often said for his disciples to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself. And stealing contradicts that, doesn't it? Goes against Jesus' command. You know, when I first came to Teesside, I was robbed. It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. It wasn't funny at the time. It's quite funny now, but it wasn't at the time. When I first came to Teesside, I went to live in a bedsit in Egmont Road. Don't know if you know where that is. It's just near Albert Park. And I shared this bedsit with a number of other guys. I didn't really know them. They didn't really know me. We had a lock on our doors individually. Everyone had a lock on their door. And I didn't really know anyone in Teesside. I came up here in 2004 to work at the university. And I thought Teesside was just outside of London. I was a bit surprised to find it was quite more close to Newcastle, actually. But, you know, I came up here. I didn't have a clue. I was clueless. I was very vulnerable and a bit lost. And I didn't really like it. So I used to work my working week. And on Friday, I used to drive back home. Most weeks, actually. Drive all the way back down to Kent, where I'm from. And see my friends. And, you know, every week I used to come in from work and get a shower before going in the car and driving this long way, this sort of 5 or 6 hour drive. And this one time I came back to my room and I thought, I'll get all my stuff ready, so I'm ready to go. So I put all my stuff. I was in, you know, this bedsit I was in was a big old house, so my room was the room that was nearest the front door, okay? Nearest the front door. It would have been the living room, I guess, if it was a normal house, but this was my bedroom. And so what I did is I got all my stuff that I needed for that weekend, my keys, my phone, my wallet, my clothes, my laptop. I put them on the bed. And then I thought, I'm going to go and have a shower quickly, just be 5 minutes, and then I'm off. So I did that. But usually, you see, I would lock my door when I went to the bathroom, which was upstairs, but I didn't do it this time. I thought, I'm only going to be quick. I'll just run up there and do it. So I did it, and I came back 5 minutes later, and all of my stuff had gone. All of my stuff had gone from my bed. I was absolutely devastated. What had happened is someone had come and knocked on the door at that moment when I was out, and my housemate, who I didn't really know, had let them in, and they'd said that they knew me. They said, I'm coming to see this guy in this room. Can I just wait for him in there? And this naive kid, actually, had let him in, and he'd gone in my room and stolen my stuff. I felt really vulnerable then. Theft and stealing makes you feel vulnerable, doesn't it? When you're a victim of theft, it makes you feel vulnerable, insecure, unsafe. Actually, many people in our society are like that. They feel like that. I wonder if you feel like that. See, it's not just about having your possessions stolen. Actually, there's something much worse. Something much worse than having your possessions stolen is having the word of God stolen from your heart. Jesus said that the devil comes to steal the word of God from your heart. Let me tell you what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. He said, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Do you know the world we're living in is totally against Jesus, totally against Christianity, totally against what we believe? Maybe you've been deceived into thinking that Jesus isn't right for you. Maybe you've had the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we've been singing about tonight stolen from your heart. We believe that God wants to give you the opportunity to have what was stolen restored to you, because that is your birthright. God, who created you, wants to live in a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to feel unsafe and vulnerable any longer. He wants you to feel safe and secure because you know him and because you have peace through knowing him. We're going to give you an opportunity at the end to come to know him. You know, Jesus said that he's the truth. I wonder if you've believed any other truth in your life. The world is full of different kinds of truths. I believe anything. I used to believe, actually, anything anyone told me. Just the latest thing. Follow the latest thing to do with, maybe to do with gadgets, maybe to do with cars. You know, but really, all of that was a distraction, because what that prevented me from doing was coming to faith in Jesus. But now I've come to faith in Jesus, I realize I was deceived by the world, by buying things that I don't really need, by doing things and spending my time on things that I don't really need. Actually, all you need in this life is to know Jesus Christ. And Jesus, if you let him, will come and change your life and give you a gift that's so precious it can't be stolen away again. And Tom's going to come up now and share a story about one of the first people who Jesus did that for. Should we welcome Tom number one again?
Thanks, Tom. There was in Luke chapter 19, there's a story about a man who he lived in Jericho, and he's a man who's despised, who's hated. Nobody likes him. And the reason why is because he's a thief. He's a robber. And to make it all worse, he's a legal robber. You know, he's one of these guys that was a tax collector. And he was a chief tax collector, so it meant that he could steal money from people, and he did. And he stole loads of money from people, and nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. And he heard that this man Jesus was coming, and he had heard all kinds of stories about Jesus, how he'd heal people, and how he'd touch people's lives and change them. And he wanted to see this man. He wanted to see what he was and who he was and what he was like. And so he was a very small man in stature. And he couldn't see above the crowds. He couldn't jump up high enough to see everybody. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. And he got the surprise of his life, because when Jesus came, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to go over to your house and spend some time with you. And he was just blown away by it. He was blown away by this man who would spend time with him, who would even want to spend time with him, because nobody else wanted him. No one else liked him. He was just kind of, everybody ignored him. You know, he was despised because of what he was. And Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, and on the way, something happened to Zacchaeus. Something happened in his heart. And he said to Jesus, he said, look, if I've done anybody wrong or stolen from anybody, I'll restore it four times over, you know. And Jesus said, this day the kingdom of God has come to this house. This day the kingdom of God has come to this house, because he changed from a taker to a giver. You know, God wants to change our hearts in that way, you know, to make us givers, to make us those that give out to others, that share with others, that give of ourselves to others, you know. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to reverse where we've been. He wants to teach us how to be givers. You know, and all the religious people, or the people that noticed what was going on, they said, look at where he's going. How can he go into that sinner's house? He calls him a sinner. How can he go to that sinner's house? But you know what? Jesus loves sinners. He spent most of his time with sinners. He spent most of his time with people that nobody else wanted to have anything to do with. And there's a portion in the scripture that really speaks to my heart, and it says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. Are you lost? Have you lost your way? Jesus come to seek and to save, to restore, to give back, to bring you up, lift you up. That's what Jesus wants to do for us, you know. And Zacchaeus was a changed man. From then on, he was totally different. He couldn't believe the change in this man just because of spending a little bit of time with Jesus. Total change. Total change. Became a giver. Became a giver instead of a taker. And that's what God wants to do for all of us, is to change our hearts so that we're givers and we give out of the abundance of what he's given to us. Remember, I said to you earlier that he's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And whatever you have, you can give. And that's what God wants to do in you. He wants to give, take that abundance that he's put into you and give to others. So, Tom.
I was going to ask you which Tom do you like the best. I'm not going to ask you that. I'm joking. So, what do you want tonight? What do you want restoring for you tonight? What has the enemy taken from you that you want back? God wants to give you good gifts. You know, the Bible says that every good gift comes from above, from the Father of the heavenly lights. Sounds nice, doesn't it? God wants to give you a gift tonight. Do you know, I want to tell you tonight that you're valuable. Every single person in this room, especially if your name's Tom, you're valuable to God. God created you for a reason and for a purpose. No matter what you've done with your life up to this point, God wants to use your life. He wants you to be part of this church. It's why you're here. You know, the point of the church isn't just to have nice services where two guys called Tom tell you things. It's actually to go out and change the world, to make it the kind of place that God wants it to be. Do you know that you can make a difference to someone else's life if you allow the word of God to come into your heart? Do you know there's this man walking on the beach once and he saw this little boy running around, and all over this beach were starfish washed up on the beach. They were stranded on the beach because the tide had gone out. And this little boy was running around on his own. There were hundreds of starfish. He was picking up individual starfish, then carrying them and throwing them into the sea. And the man walked up to him and he said, "What are you doing? There's too many. You can't possibly save them all." And the little boy said, "Well, I've saved that one." You know, you can make a difference in the world that we live in if you want to. If you know Jesus and you come into a relationship with Jesus for yourself, you can start to have your life changed. And it's only through having your life changed that you can make an impact on other people's lives. So I wonder what you want from God tonight. Should we pray? Just bow your heads and close your eyes. You know, maybe you've never received the free gift of eternal life before. Maybe you've never said to Jesus, "I want you in my life." Just where everyone's eyes are closed, their heads are bowed, if that's you, if you want to say yes to Jesus and you want to know tonight that you're going to heaven when you die, I want to ask you right now to raise your hand. Well done. Well done. Well done. Brilliant. Well done. You put your hand down when you've raised it. Well done. Awesome. Well done. Anyone else want to come to faith in Jesus so that he can change your life and make you the person that God wants you to be? The Bible says that God has a plan for your life, and it's good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Anyone else want to come to Jesus for the first time? Just raise your hand. Well done. Well done. God sees those hands. Well done. You can put your hands down. Well done. Let's just pray for you, first of all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've seen these hands. I pray that each one who's put up their hand to receive Jesus tonight would be changed from the inside out. And we'd love to pray for you. If you've put up your hand for the first time tonight, well done. Should we give him a round of applause? Well done. You know, What else do you want? Maybe you're a Christian already. Maybe you've done that before. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years. But what is it that the enemy has stolen from you? Tom mentioned a few things, money. I've mentioned possessions. We mentioned joy. I wonder what has been stolen from you before. God wants to restore to you what was stolen. Shall we stand? You know, if you want something that was taken from you back and you want God to restore it to you tonight, whether it's a physical thing or it's a spiritual thing, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. Could we have some music, brother? Just some ministry music. If you want to have something restored, I get a sense that there are people here who want a health problem restored. I had a picture earlier of someone in pain here, just on the right of their abdomen, maybe the edge of their lung, I don't know. But a pain here. If that's you, I'd like you to come forward. If you're in pain now, we'd love to pray for you, because you weren't created in pain. God wants to restore to you health and wellness. Maybe you've lost out financially in your life. Maybe you're struggling at the moment financially. We know that one of the names for God is provider. Maybe you need some supernatural provision in your life. It's not wrong to need money, you know, to do something. God wants to bless some of you with money tonight. He wants to give you and provide for you, and we'd love to pray for you.
Awesome. I also believe there's somebody here who's been sexually abused, or something's been taken from you sexually. You lost your virginity and you feel it was stolen from you. And really believe there's someone here tonight, or maybe multiple, and you feel that this innocence has been taken from you. Maybe through your own stupidity. So easy to happen. But you know, Jesus can take away your guilt that goes deep, deep down. So I don't know, how do you want to respond for this? But if anyone wants to respond for anything, for prayer, you're welcome to come forward. But let me tell you, Jesus can give you back what's been taken from you. He wants to. But you need to come to him and give it to him. And let it go. And you will be free from this. So we're going to have tea and coffee now. And the meeting's officially over. But you're welcome to come for prayer and get some more ministry tonight if you want to. Bless you guys.